Hello, this is the Trimmed Down podcast version of Tracks of My Life with me, Toby Davey. To catch all my guests' music tracks in full, do listen in to the hour-long version on RNIB Connect Radio every Tuesday at 7 p.m, repeated Thursdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Hello, I'm Toby Davey and you're listening to Tracks of My Life here on RNIB Connect Radio. In Tracks of My Life, we invite a guest to select a few tracks that mean something to them and mark moments in their life. From maybe that first track they ever heard, right through to one track that they would like to pass on that might give hope for future. My guest this week is Mike Wood, who has spent almost 40 years as a volunteer with Talking Newspapers, joining the Swindon and District Talking Newspaper Association in the early 1980s, and then heavily involved in the setup of the Talking News Federation during 2004 and 2005. Mike is currently the Vice President of the Association. Hello, Mike, and welcome to Tracks of My Life here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello there.
Mike, how was it for you just selecting seven tracks then?
Difficult. It really made me sit down and think, which is a thing I don't like doing too often. When you first mentioned it, I put the phone down and I immediately thought of one track, and that was okay, and it's still in there. But that's all I could think of. I just got lost in the, thinking of all these tracks, and then suddenly I suddenly thought of 100 tracks and thought, oh my gosh, I think you it might be a long program if you think of all them. So I did manage to get it down to seven, but it was really hard work, I have to say. It was quite interesting exercise.
Well, your first track, Mike, takes you back to, I think, around the age of seven.
Yes.
And early life for you. Where were you living at the time, and what was early family life like for you?
Oh, it was great. I had a great early life. I lived with my parents, and my parents lived with my mother's parents. So we were five of us in the house. And then I was out and about, mate up the road. In those days, of course, you could go and do things that probably these days you wouldn't be allowed to do. But I used to go off and play by the stream and build dams across it and climb trees and it was a wonderful life, and some of this was just before I was five. So, I had a wonderful time. The only downside to it, of course, is so my parents suddenly said to me, you've got to go to school, because in those days you didn't go to preschool or nursery school or anything like that. You literally went to school on in the September after your fifth birthday. And I went off. I was told I was going to have to go off and go to school, and I really didn't want to do that because I was having a wonderful life playing. And anyway, my mother said to me, right, you've got to go and try it. So I went off and I tried it at 9 o'clock in the morning, and at 11 o'clock they let us out, which apparently was playtime, which I didn't think was, I thought it was a good time to actually move out. So I walked back home again. And my mother said, what are you doing here? I said, well, I tried it, but I didn't like it. And the funny thing was, I didn't like it for the rest of my school life, but that's another story. We did have, in that time, other things like record players. Oh, wonderful. And this track, it was about seven when I heard it. And it's one of those tracks which I still play now. And I hope that if people listen to this track, they don't have to think about it for the rest of the day, or it doesn't keep coming back to them. It's one of those tracks, and you know what I mean? I loved it and sang it and sang it and sang it.
I believe you also sang the echoes in this track. And could you tell us what the track is and why you have chosen it?
Well, this is a show of my age, isn't it? This is real, oh gosh. It was worth saying I listened to this at the age of seven, but now I've got to admit how old I am. But it's Sparky's Magic Echo, which there was a version of it, I think. The first version was in 1947 when I was only two, but this version I really liked, and it came out in 1952. So I do apologise to any of the young listeners, because you'll wonder why I enjoyed it so much, because like life is, music changes all the time and our tastes change all the time. But at 7 years old, I thought this track was wonderful.
Hello, Sparky. What can I do for you?
Oh, Fatso, you sing so well. And you know, I like to sing too, but I can't anymore. I sang my song and the echo never came back, and now my song is gone. Do you know where I could find it?
Sparky's Magic Echo there, and I think I can remember listening to Sparky's Magic Piano at school. Well, that takes me back.
That's it, yeah. It was part of that, I think, because Sparky's Magic Piano was a film, wasn't it?
I think it was an animated film or something like that.
That's it, yeah. And the Magic Echo was in that.
Yeah. Well, we're now going to move on a couple of years and maybe piano lessons for you at this time, Mike. And I think there was perhaps a little bit of a battle between football and piano. Why was there a bit of a clash between the piano and football?
Well, you see, my aunt, who thought I should learn the piano, and she had one, she worked during the week. So she said, I want to teach you the piano. And my parents thought that was this wonderful idea. But she'd only teach me on a Saturday morning. And I tried to get her to do it on a Sunday or something, just in the evenings, anytime. But no, it had to be Saturday morning. But of course, I was already enjoying every Saturday morning football with my mates. And suddenly, a battle occurred between me and my aunt. So I must admit, I, shall we say, didn't play as well as I could have done. On the other hand, my excuse was I was left-handed, and that didn't help with the piano, because pianos were built for right-handed people. That was my argument at the time, anyway. And, well, you've got to get out of it somehow. Anyway, in the end, she gave up on me, and I was a happy boy. The only sad thing about that is, of course, now later in life, I'm the one who's sad because I wish I'd learned the piano. But this track is by Oscar Peterson. And I mean, he is, to me, the greatest pianist ever lived, in my opinion. But the first six, and I call them phrases because I don't know what you would call them. They're more than a bar, but they are sort of phrases. And the first phrases, I show the standard that I reached. After that, it shows you the standard that I wish I could have achieved in my life.
Oscar Peterson there and Sea Jam Blues and some nifty piano work also. Mike, we are now moving into teenage life for you. I think your parents wanted you to get into classical music, but you decided to get into trad jazz. I think the track that you have chosen is one by Acca Bilk, and probably not the most obvious Acca Bilk track, but what made you want to go into trad jazz rather than listening to classical music like your parents perhaps would have liked you to listen to?
I think the main reason is that classical music generally is very serious. It's not got a rhythm in the true sense of the word. You've got to understand what the music defines. They're now going into battle and the music tells you that. And you've got to understand how it's telling you that, and I can't seem to probably have the patience, if the truth's told, of trying to work it all out. So the trad jazz was great. It was how can I put it? A good old foot tapping stomp, or whatever the word is, and it just felt enjoyable. I enjoyed it. I could have a smile on my face for most of the tracks, which is really, really good. And I enjoyed it. And it was following sort of bands and all this, like people do these days. But I followed the bands and I found it really good. But this particular track was the track for me. There's so many tracks that you can choose. And this is what I said about the 100 tracks at the beginning. There's so many tracks you could choose, but you had to sort of bring it down to a reasonable level. But, you know, the Acker built with so many that apart from Stranger on the Shore, which, of course, was a, I always call it, is his pension pension track, which is quite right. And but the rest of them, I loved every one of them, I think. And I've got Acker LPs, which shows my age again, LPs, and of Acker. And it's, but in the end, I had to decide on one. And that's my home, was it.
I'm always welcome back, no matter where I roam. Just a little shack to me is home sweet home. Well, the streams and the rivers flow, and the old shady elm trees grow. Need not say no more, 'cause that's my home.
That's My Home there by Acker Bilk, and maybe a track that many people might know of, and it's good to actually hear him sing as well, which I think people who know Stranger on the Shore probably would never realise he had such a good voice too. Mike, your next track, we are spreading a sort of quite a long period of time from those early days up until the end of the 1990s. What had happened in your life between those teenage years and the end of the 1990s? What were you up to?
Well, you know, like we all are in those that sort of age, we're in our job, we get a job, we have a we look into the future, we're trying to improve. I moved to right across the country to another job. And stayed there for a few years. And then in that time, I got married, and then came back down to Wiltshire. And then we, you know, had two boys, and that was great. But so life was sort of, there was so much going on, and I could probably include tracks that the boys, even though they were only sort of two or three, they enjoyed. But, you know, it all gets melt into the big melting pot. And I got totally confused as to what would represent that sort of period from a track point of view. But I was just busy like everybody else, making sure my career was going forward and that married life was good and the family life was good. But, you know, just keep marching forward, I think, is the way forward, like you do in life.
Talking newspapers took off in the early 1970s. When did you first get involved in talking newspapers and why?
Oh, gosh, right. The my local talking newspaper here is started in 1981 with a committee meeting. And then in 1982, in April, they sent out their first recording. And in fact, I've still got the recording that they did as a trial, which was never sent out. And I have to say, it was really good. I was quite impressed with it. But anyway, that was 82. I didn't get involved until very late in December 83. And I was chairman of my local round table. And the community service chairman said to me, I wanted to present £750, which is a lot of money in 1983, to Swindon Talking Newspaper. And I said, who are they? And he went, right, on Friday, it's 7 o'clock, you're going to present a cheque to them and we can talk to them about what they actually do. I said, oh, right, okay. So, of course, I presented this cheque, you know, as chairman, and you know, had the photographs taken and all this sort of thing. And with that, I turned around to one of the organisers and said, if you need any help, you know, please give me a shout. 2 weeks later, I was reading the news. And the interesting thing was, before we had a studio, and we were reading the news in the producer's parents' attic. So every time somebody came to the door, the dog would bark, so we had to stop recording. or if the parents went to the loo, then we had to stop because the cistern up in the attic plastered us out. So, but that was how I started with talking newspapers at a local level, and thoroughly enjoyed it. It's because it's produced, it's creating a service which people wanted and needed. And I was really keen on that, to help people in a positive way. So that's how I got involved in the first place. But as I say, that's 1982. So just to really face facts, I suddenly realised during lockdown, there's a few things I thought about, people were asking me about. And I've suddenly realised that this year, I have spent 38 years with local talking newspapers, and that's half my life.
Gosh.
And if you think that the average volunteer does 5 years, it shows that a lot of people have got more common sense than me.
Mike, the track that you have chosen that marks this time, this big span of period of in your life, is one by Jules Holland. And I think you've seen Jules Holland play a couple of times. Why this particular Jules Holland track, and why have you chosen it?
I just feel, let's put it this way, I used to go, unfortunately you can't go there now, but I used to go to the Marlborough Jazz Festival. And this is a great, great festival, I think, where you can just, a number of different bands are playing in different venues, and you can walk between them, and you walk in and out whenever you like. The Marlborough Jazz showed me such a variety of music, although it's called jazz, but it was such a variety of music. But I listened to people like Jive Aces, which will be coming up later on, Brass Hoppers, I don't think they exist now, unfortunately. Chris Jagger, you know, Mick Jagger's brother, he's really good. Claire Teal, and a man called Steve Big Man Clayton, who is a boogie-woogie rock and roll. Oh, he does everything. He's absolutely brilliant. And like a lot of these pianists, which gets to me, they've got stubby fingers. Now, I don't think a pianist should have stubby fingers, but they do, or a lot of them do. But one day, and I always remember, Jules Holland was playing at Marlborough College, and we walked along to see Jules Holland, and we were a little bit late walking in, about 10 minutes. And I walked in, and the place was heaving and jiving, and everybody was having a whale of a time. And the music, this big band, and it was absolutely brilliant. And I'll never forget that, because his skills as a musician are just unbelievable. But the big band sounded so, so great. And I thought it was a great example of all the bands that performed at the Marlborough Jazz Festival, which I've listened to over many, many years, and I've thoroughly enjoyed.
Roland by Jules Holland and his band there, and some fantastic piano playing by Jules Holland too. For your next track, Mike, you say it's a time for quieter music for you, and a track that you listen to on trips down to Devon. Why quieter music, and where were you going in Devon to?
I'm getting older now. So I'm going for a bit of music which I can listen to quietly and just enjoy, and that's it. But no, actually, the first time I listened to it was in a car. I was going to Devon for a meeting, for a work meeting. And the lady who was one of my assistants, she said to me, "Would you mind if I drive?" So I said, no trouble at all. So jumped in the car, and she said, "I've got this CD and you'll love it." She said, "I'm sure you will." I said, "Who is it?" She said, "Just listen to it a minute." And I was enthralled. And I'm afraid I was a very bad passenger or chat, because I wouldn't chat to her. I just said, shh, just listen to this next track. It was really, really good. And it was by a lady called Diana Krall. A lot of people won't know Diana Krall, but she only performs in this country. She has about 2 concerts a year normally. But I did manage to go and see and hear her at the Birmingham Symphony Hall, which must be the most wonderful hall to hear any quality music. And it was really, really enjoyable. But the nearest thing, you may have heard her, you may have heard of Elvis Costello, who she's married to. But anyway, I find her music very, very good indeed, and very relaxing, and a little bit thought-provoking sometimes, which is rather nice as well. But this particular track was the first one I heard, and it's always remained the most favourite.
This track may also mark a time of the beginning of the Talking News Federation, which I know you and your wife, Anne, have been heavily involved with over the years, and you're vice president at the moment. What may have been sort of the highlights of your involvement with the Talking News Federation?
Yes, we created the federation in 2005, actually. But of course, all the work started in about 2003, which is interesting. I hadn't thought of that and tied the two together, actually, with Diana Krall. But anyway, yes, I mean, obviously, it takes a couple of years to get things going. But I started it in 2005. And it was all about helping local talking newspapers across the UK. And I feel that we've tried to do that. Sometimes some people sort of say, well, you're not doing enough. Well, hang on a minute. We were all volunteers and we're working our hearts out here trying to help you. But sometimes life gets a little bit hectic and we need to pull back sometimes. But I think it was about getting the quality better. And that was a bigger thing. And of course, one of the big issues which came up around about 2007, I think, was the moving to digital, which of course a lot of people didn't like. But on the other hand, if you move to digital, it gave you more freedom as a producer to include much more articles than you could on the old cassettes. And also the quality of the recording was far, far better. So I think it was a good thing in the long run. But on the other hand, as I say, if you start anything new, some people won't like it and some people will think it's the best thing out. But I've now worked at it for, what is it now, 16 years, I suppose. Yes, gosh. it makes you think, and then it makes you realise what you've done, and then you think, my golly, did I really? But I find that it's been an interesting exercise, a very interesting output, and things are still moving now. I mean, it's always something changing and moving on, which we have to try and address and try to help the local talking newspapers. And I've always had the thing about the listeners. I've always been very concerned about listeners. Because I think sometimes in some charities you can have, where can I put it? You can have people who are more concerned about the structure of the organisation than the people who you're trying to help. But I've always tried to be on that side. In fact, in my local talking newspaper, which I stood down as chairman about 14 years ago, yes, that's right, just after I started up Talking News Federation, I stood down as chairman of my local talking newspaper, and I've now found myself back in the chair again, starting up after the lockdown and all that sort of thing. So, I enjoy it. I feel I achieve things, and that's, as long as I achieve things, it makes me feel good. But also, I hope other people benefit from it as well.
East of the sun and west of the moon, we'll build a dream house.
Diana Krall there, and East of the Sun, West of the Moon. And what a lovely voice she has too. Mike, we now come to a classical track for you, and maybe one that your parents might have approved of. What do you think your parents might have thought of your chosen performer, Nigel Kennedy, who I think you have seen play a couple of times as well?
I've always listened to classical music. I've never really got into it, as I say. I enjoy certain I say tracks because that's what I listen to, but certain pieces of music, classical, and I do enjoy that. But I just can't get into it like I got into trad jazz, you know. But I found that the I was sort of getting more and more. I was listening to it more and more. My wife is particularly keen on Nigel Kennedy. And she said to me one day, we've been to Ronnie Scott's to see a lady whose name I cannot remember. And she was fantastic. Then we went to see Ronnie Scott. At Ronnie Scott's, we saw Frank Sinatra Jr. And in some ways, I enjoyed him more than I did Frank Sinatra. But then we saw that Nigel Kennedy was on at Ronnie Scott's. And she said, oh, I'd love to go to see that. So, but it's with his Polish band, jazz band. So I thought, well, obviously, Ronnie Scott's, he's going to be a little bit jazzy, and that's fair enough. And that's what happened. He had his Polish band. He had an electric violin. And during the first number, he stopped playing. You know, the band kept playing, but he stopped playing and then bent down. And then the next thing you know, he's pouring himself a cup of tea on stage, which is unusual for me. I don't think I've ever seen an artist make a cup of tea for themselves while they were actually in the middle of a number. But his skills obviously were great. But he did say at one point that I'm pretty sure that most of you would like me to play at least one piece of classical music. And he took out what I would call a normal violin and he played this classical music. I have never, and don't remember that Ronnie Scott's is a small club. And I'm not far away from the stage. And I was just sat there in total awe. I mean, the skill of the man was unbelievable. And I loved it. And I think I was the first to clap, and I think I was the last to finish clapping. I just thought it was wonderful. And it sort of got me back into classical music for a while. And classical music, of course, is very, very quality, top quality. And just like, as I was saying earlier about the Oscar Peterson, you know, the quality is just second to none. And but the one piece of music of classical that I think is just unbelievable, probably because of the speed at which they do it, but the quality of what they do at that speed, I think is second to none.
Flight of the Bumblebee there, and fantastic playing by Nigel Kennedy too. Mike, we now come to your final track, the one that you would like to pass on that might inspire or give people hope for the future. What is the track and why have you chosen it?
Oh my golly, I could have named probably about 20 or 30 tracks that I've enjoyed. They're inspirational. But the one I've chosen the band itself is inspirational to me. It's a band called Jive Aces. And the quality is really good. The fun is really good. And if you see them live, they are unbelievably entertaining. Not necessarily jazz, but they are very, very good indeed. And I just felt that they've inspired me so many times when I've gone to listen to them at a live concert, and that's been many, many times. And I just felt that this particular track was very appropriate.
Well, thank you, Mike Wood, very much for sharing your Tracks of My Life with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
When you wish upon a star.